pending for the arrival of Mayor Councillor Cathy Cullen and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kelly Torrey.
Thank you, councillors. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. The opening prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, councillors, council staff and members of the gallery. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome everyone for coming to tonight's council meeting. Just before we start, I think there was a couple of questions from the members of the gallery about taking some photos. Members of the gallery, it actually, on the front cover of your agenda, it actually states some of the rules around the meeting. And it says members of the public in the gallery must not operate recording equipment at a council or special committee meeting without the prior written consent of council. This includes any still photography, and at this point, can I also ask that all members of the gallery please turn your mobile phones either off or to a silent mode. Thank you. You're more than welcome to take photos after the meeting. Feel free to do so after the meeting is open. Back to the public. Okay, we have apologies and leave of absence.
Councillor Dunn is an apology this evening.
Thank you, Kel. Item 3, changes to the order of business.
Nil.
Item 4, deputations.
No deputations, Madam Mayor.
Item 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. None. Item 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Councillors, can I have someone to move that procedural motion, please?
Madam Mayor, I rise to move the recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 15th of December 2015 and the special meeting of Council held on the 7th of January. Can I move, sorry, with that saying I wasn't present at the special meeting?
If you were absent, no.
We'd prefer not to, Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor,
Councillor Bentley.
I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the Council held 15 December 2015 and special meeting of the Council held 7 January 2016 be confirmed as true and correct.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor to second the
I'll
motion?
Second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who has any questions in regards to this procedural motion? Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 7, there are no correspondence inwards. And number 8, petitions and joint letters.
We don't have any petitions or joint letters, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Item number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No business carried over, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. And item 10, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 11 public questions this evening. And the first of those questions, when I turn over the page, is from Robert Swartheven, who asks, in reference to item 11.4, on the agenda, section 2, the council states that it has yet to prepare a green wedge management plan for the southern green wedge. Could the council please provide an estimate of when the plan will be completed? Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks for the question, Robert. In regard to this particular management plan, being the Western Plains South Green Wedge Management Plan, it's one that will need to be prepared in conjunction with Wyndham City Council. It's not common that that would happen, that it would straddle two councils, but the zoning of the region is such that it does fall between the two councils. Therefore, the timing is dependent on both the council's works programs and the ability to sort out, I guess, a lot of motherhood statements and positions in regard to how the program will go forward. It is this council's intention and anticipation that the plan would be commenced this financial year, and ideally it would take somewhere in the vicinity of 18 months to complete based on other management plans that we've undertaken. The sorts of issues that I'm talking about that would need to be factored into in establishing it prior to commencement and agreement with Wyndham Council, but also has that effect on the timing, would be such things like the fact that it is being done in conjunction with Wyndham Council, that we are dealing with two differing communities in that region of the western suburbs. The coordination by both councils and engaging a consultant to undertake the work can prove somewhat of a disparity at time to time, each council having differing engagement and communications processes, and of course ultimately each council ultimately agreeing and approving on a single unified document. But working through those issues, that's within relative terms what we're talking about from a timing factor. Thank you.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Seamus Ryan. Is Mr. Ryan in the gallery? Yes. The question reads, in relation to the recently erected mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, 72 to 80 Caroline Springs Boulevard, Caroline Springs, can Council definitively confirm and provide written evidence that all schools and sporting clubs, Brookside College, Christ the Priest Catholic Primary School, Brookside Early Learning, Brookside Kinder, Camp Australia, Westside Strikers Soccer Club, George Cross Soccer Club, Caroline Springs Cricket Club, Caroline Springs Tennis Club, being occupiers of the location and or within a 300 metre radius of the tower, were given notice of the planning application by Vodafone to build a mobile phone tower at 72 to 80 Caroline Springs, Victoria 3023. Proof could be in the form of receipt for registered letters sent. Question two is in a separate submission. So, again, Peter Bean, General Manager Planning and Development, to provide a response.
Thanks for the question, Seamus. Look, in relation to providing written advice of the planning application to the entities listed that you have listed in your public question, I can't definitively say that they have all received notice and advice of the proposal. However, in my written response to you, I'll endeavour to make every effort to confirm which have and which haven't, if that's the case. Council chose to provide the advice by direct mail to all property owners and registered occupiers on Council's rating database. So, without wanting to split hairs, there are occupiers of property and there are, say, licence holders, such as sporting clubs and those sorts of things. But again, I'll clarify that in my written response to you. That were located within a 300 metre radius of the proposed site, as you stated. Just for point of clarification, Council has met all its statutory requirements, as I'm sure you are aware, in relation to public notices on site, of which there were three, as well as the printed newspaper articles. But again, I'll formally put that to you in the written response. Thank you.
Next question is also from Mr. Ryan, and it forms part two, or question two, on the similar subject matter. Why did Council approve a permit to build a mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, 72 to 80 Caroline Springs Boulevard, Caroline Springs, when Vodafone was clearly disingenuous in its application when it stated at section 9.4, bracket health and safety, close bracket, quotation marks, to allay community concern, Vodafone endeavoured to avoid areas of community sensitivity, such as schools, childcare centres and hospitals, if it is possible to do so. In this case, there are no community-sensitive uses close to the site. Close quotation mark. However, clearly this is a community-sensitive location, given there are three schools, a kindergarten, childcare centre, before and after school care, and five sporting clubs as occupiers of this public location, or within 300 metre radius, of the specified location. Again, Peter Bean to respond.
Council staff were advised that Vodafone considered three sites in the immediate area, and this was deemed to be the most advantageous location to them to address the black spot coverage issues in the southern area of Caroline Springs. Consideration of the location being a community-sensitive location required an environmental electromagnetic emission report to be undertaken, which, when presented to council staff, advised that the maximum EME, or the electromagnetic emissions, calculated for the proposed systems to be located at this site would be 1.43% of the public exposure limit. With this advice provided, the application was approved because council officers took the view that the site was appropriate for the facility, taking into account factors such as its location on the council reserve, its separation from the surrounding dwellings and schools, and the presence of existing light poles and other infrastructure in the area, and because it was consistent with state and local planning policies. Thank you.
The next question is from Michelle Spiteri. Is Michelle Spiteri in the gallery? Okay, I'll take... That is a duplicate question of a question from Michelle McKenzie, who is in the gallery, so I'll read your question, Ms. McKenzie. Reads, the Brookside Community Action Group, Residents Against the Mobile Phone Tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, has a petition which currently has signatures of 174 local residents who oppose Vodafone's mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve. The vast majority also indicate they had no prior knowledge of this application and tower. Given the local opposition to this site, would council consider cancelling the lease that was issued to Vodafone in November 2015 in support of this local opposition? We believe that forfeiting $13,000 in annual rent by the council is a small price to pay in comparison to our elected representatives carrying out the will of the majority of the local community. Again, Mr. Bean, to respond.
Thank you for the question, Michelle. Look, in regard to this, and I'm not necessarily in a position to speak on behalf of the council, but it would not be something that I'd be advocating for council to cancel the lease at this point in time on the basis that the planning permit met the merits of the state and local planning requirements and the advice given to council in regard to the studies required to be provided by Vodafone, again, met the requirements of the planning application. It would be council's staff's position that the status quo remain. However, council are in a position to determine what they believe is in the best interest of the community in going forward. Thank you.
Second question from Ms. McKenzie. Is the Australian Communication and Media Authority, ACMA, Industry Code C564:2011, mobile phone base station deployment, clearly states that in choosing a site for a tower, several factors such as community-sensitive sites and the outcome of consultations with the community need to be considered. To what extent did Council refer to the ACMA's Code of Conduct in relation to the granting of the permit and the leasing of the land to Vodafone for the construction of the mobile town tower at Brookside Recreational Reserve? And if so, how can its actions be justified given that this tower is clearly in breach of this code? Again, Mr. Bean, to respond.
Michelle, council staff are certainly aware of the code, but have not referred to it in the case in relation to the assessment and granting of this permit. The code quite clearly sets out on certainly the first page and the first couple of pages that it is a requirement that covers the steps that telecommunications carriers must take when deciding where to place a communications facility, such as a mobile phone based station, as we're talking about here. Assuming the carrier has evaluated the suitable sites against this code, a planning permit application is lodged with the council for it to assess the merits of the application against the Planning and Environment Act and, of course, local and state planning policy. Thank you.
The next question is from Alyssa Matesic, who's in the gallery, and asks, can Melton Shire provide a copy of the letter and proof of delivery that was sent to residents and corporate bodies where it gives the recipients the option to agree or object to the construction of this microwave tower in this highly residential and school and sporting recreation zone with ample information on how to object? Again, Mr. Bean.
Alyssa is certainly more than happy to provide you a copy of the letter, and the attached form to the letter provides fairly ample information in regard to how to object. In regard to proof of delivery, we don't send letters by registered post in regard to matters such as this, so I have no proof of delivery in that regard. However, we do have a list of those who were sent that list. We can modify that list because for Privacy Act reasons we can't breach those sorts of things, but we can provide the list of the addresses of where that went to. Any non-privacy matters such as schools, organisations and other common or state bodies, we can certainly provide you that level of detail as well. Thank you.
Second question from Ms. Matesic is, can Council explain why they approved the permit for a mobile phone tower at 72 to 80 Caroline Springs Boulevard, Caroline Springs, when at Council's meeting on 10/11/15, item 11.1, it stated in the amended plans the following condition of approval, 1A, amended plans showing the pole will be similar in nature to the existing remaining light towers at the reserve, when in fact the new tower is 50% taller than the light towers and over 100% wider at the bottom and top of the pole, 96 centimetres and 53 centimetres respectively. This clearly contradicts similar in nature. Again, Mr. Bean.
Alyssa, I guess you can look at the pole and sort of see that it is of some more sizeable structure than what the existing light poles are there. However, when council staff received the amended plans from the carrier in regard to their requirements to provide the system that they were wanting to at that location, they assessed their plans against the relevant permit requirements and deemed that the plans were satisfactory and consistent with the permit requirements. So they required the height. The height dictated then what the structure and the dimensions of the pole had to be. Thank you.
Next question is from Mario Kasia. Mr. Kasia was here earlier. Oh, there he is. Yes, okay, so he's here. Question reads, my question is about an article in the Melton Leader, 19th of the 1st, 2016, in relation to availability of affordable housing and rental. Drafting an inclusionary zoning pilot, which will start with government land, we are open to working with councils to identify social housing opportunities and advocate. We have been raising this at council meetings. Now Mario Kasia and his family wants to use their property in PSP 1080 Coroid for non-government rent affordability with special drafting and inclusionary zoning like a non-government school. Mr. Kasia and his family has been advocating, so we are readying in future PSP and amendments and have some room for what we are trying to do and use our people and provide our people cheap rent to save for a deposit for first home. This will take the squeeze off purchasing housing. So we are pleading to Melton Town planners and future amendments to have planning mechanisms, including inclusionary zoning, how we want to use 402 Clark Road. So, Mr. Bean, again.
Thanks for the question, Mario. Along similar lines to what we've sort of previously answered in other similar questions to you, you know, the inclusionary zoning provides the ability for authorities to require a mandatory contribution towards affordable housing from new developments. The Victorian planning system does not currently provide the ability for this to be implemented. However, it is understood that the state government are considering options through the planned Melbourne Refresh to assist councils to achieve more affordable housing outcomes through the planning process, such as things like what you are proposing. With regards to land located within the Coroid Precinct Structure Plan, the Precinct Structure Plan will determine the development potential, if any, that your land has. The plan is well advanced and it is anticipated to be released on public exhibition this financial year. Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. The community of Diggers Rest intends to hold a whole town garage sale on February 27, which will be hosted by the Lions Club of Diggers Rest. It is understood the A boards are not permitted to be used without a permit from council, which is likely to incur a cost to residents. Would council be prepared to waive the cost of participating households and allow the use of an aid board sign for the duration of this one-day event? General Manager Planning and Development to respond, Peter, or is it Mr. Shannon? Okay. General Manager Corporate Services, Luke Shannon.
Thank you, David, for your question. Firstly, Council would be very keen to support the Lions Club initiative for the whole-of-town garage sale. And to that end, we're certainly happy to speak to you or appropriate representatives about any fees that might apply to sandwich boards, which there are fees under the local law, but I'm happy to have that discussion with you or the appropriate person. Thank you.
And Madam Mayor, that concludes the public questions session for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, we're moving to agenda item 11, presentation of staff reports. 11.1, authorisation of fixing the common seal of council.
Madam
Councillor Cugliari.
Madam, I rise to move 11.1 and 11.2 in block and accept officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Cugliari has suggested that councillors move items 11.1 and 11.2 in block. Do I have a councillor to second that motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose that motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.3, amendment C100 to the Melton Planning Scheme Dry Stone Wall, and it is to be presented by Ms. Kelly Archibald. Thank you, Ms. Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the recommendations of the Planning Panel in their report on amendment C100 to the Melton Planning Scheme. Amendment C100 seeks to amend the Melton Planning Scheme to implement the recommendations of the Melton Dry Stone Wall Study, which is adopted by Council at its ordinary meeting on the 10th of November 2011. Amendment C100 was exhibited from the 5th of May to the 7th of August 2015 and sought to apply the heritage overlay to 140 dry stone walls across the municipality. The heritage overlay is proposed to apply to 5 precincts and 2 individual walls. 25 submissions were received. The submissions were considered at the ordinary meeting of Council on the 8th of September and the 13th of October 2015, where Council resolved to not include 13 dry stone walls in the heritage overlay and resolved to reduce the extent of the heritage overlay for an additional 4 dry stone walls. Council resolved to refer the 6 unresolved submissions to a planning panel to consider. The planning panel was held on the 9th, 10th and 11th of November 2015, which considered the unresolved submissions. The panel issued its report on the 17th of December 2015. The panel has made a series of recommendations which are in line with Council's submission to the planning panel during the course of the hearing. On this basis, it is recommended that Council adopt Amendment C100 to the Melton Planning Scheme, subject to the changes recommended in the panel report, adopt the exclusion of the westernmost 22 metres of dry stone wall, F93, from Schedule 200 of the Heritage Overlay, adopt the removal of the interim control provision in Clause 5237 of the Melton Planning Scheme and submit the amendment to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Archibald. Councillors, do I have any councillor requiring any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move item 11.3?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.4, which is the amendment C166 to the Melton Planning Scheme proposed rezoning of land in the Exford North area, and this will be presented by Ms. Kelly Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Amendment C166 proposes to rezone 2 rural residential type estates, which are located north and south of the Melbourne-Ballarat rail line in the Exford area, from Green Wedge to Green Wedge A zone. The 2 estates contain a total of 36 lots of around 4 hectares each, which are mostly developed with dwellings and outbuildings. The proposed amendment is a response to a VCAT decision reported in July last year relating to a planning application for a retrospective permit to keep and train greyhounds at 320 Telephone Road in Exford. In that case, VCAT set aside Council's decision to refuse the application, essentially on amenity grounds, and directed the issue of a permit including conditions relating to noise attenuation. This is due to the lack of protection afforded by the Green Wedge Zone to consider amenity issues for surrounding residents. It is considered an amendment to Council's planning scheme. It is therefore required to rezone this area to a zone which is able to consider amenity impacts of surrounding uses on the residential properties, in addition to continuing to provide the protection that the Green Wedge Zone currently provides. Council officers has discussed this amendment with their counterparts, the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, and has considered the Green Wedge A zone would be the most appropriate zone under the circumstances. The appropriateness of the zone lies in that it continues to offer a similar level of protection as the existing Green Wedge zone to ensure the continued use of the land primarily for agricultural purposes, with residential land uses being supplementary to this use. However, it also provides the ability for council to recognise and protect the amenity of existing resident rural living areas. This will provide the ability for council to consider the amenity impacts of planning applications on the existing residential properties. It is therefore recommended that council seek authorisation to prepare Amendment C166 to the Melton Planning Scheme from the Minister for Planning, and upon receiving authorisation, exhibit the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms Archibald. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? I just have one question. What kind of notification was given, or were the Exford Residents Association actually notified of the proposed amendment?
Of this proposed amendment? At this stage, this report is just seeking council's authorisation to resolution to seek authorisation from the minister. Once we receive that authorisation from the minister, we can then exhibit the amendment to the residents and surrounding residents. So that will be the next phase of the amendment.
And when can we see that happening?
Authorisation takes approximately 10 business days, and then in the preceding weeks following that, we can then move forward to exhibition.
Okay. And how long is that on exhibition for?
It's generally a minimum of 4 weeks.
Okay. Thank you,
Madam Mayor.
Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Ramsay.
I need to stop jumping up and down.
You can take your seat, Councillor Ramsay.
My question is, and I'm sorry if you can't answer it, please take it on notice, to get the minister to give us the green light to exhibit it is one thing. If the residents arc up and don't want it, at a later stage, has council still got the scope to not go forward with it even after it's sought ministerial approval?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, council will have another opportunity to consider the amendment. Once the submissions have been received, council will receive a report and council can then choose to abandon the amendment if it chooses to.
Okay. Councillors, any other questions? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor, as per.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second this motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor who opposes this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. 11.5, Snake Removal Program. The presenter is Mr Luke Shannon, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report responds to a notice of motion which was considered by council at the 15th of December ordinary meeting of council, and that notice of motion stated that council investigate and prepare a report to come to council at the next meeting on establishing a snake catching program for the City of Melton and include costs of such a program. So, Madam Mayor, accordingly, the officer's report provides particulars on such a program, and if I can perhaps provide a brief overview of or some highlights of the report. The current situation in terms of snake catching across the municipality from a council point of view is that council only involves itself in the catching of snakes through a snake handler where it is on a road reserve, a council-owned and managed road reserve within a residential area, and also in circumstances where it's within a area of public open space, particularly playgrounds, sporting fields and the like. In situations where snakes are present on private properties, it's actually the responsibility of the landholder. We do receive around about 50 phone calls per year from private landholders, and at that time we refer them to a number of different snake handlers who they can then engage privately to remove the snakes if they wish to do so. We've undertaken effectively a survey of adjoining and growth councils, and currently the City of Wyndham is the only council that we're aware of that run a program that involves council engaging itself in the catching of snakes on private properties, catching and removal of snakes. That's, again, done through accredited snake catchers or snake handlers. Madam Mayor, if council is indeed proposing to establish such a program, it's very difficult to accurately estimate how much that might cost at the moment. We think based on the potential of, say, 150 requests per year, that might cost in the order of $30,000 per annum. There is, however, some merit in council considering a trial of such a program, and to that end it's actually recommended, Madam Mayor, on page 104, and I don't propose to read each recommendation other than to say that it's recommended that council conduct a trial over the forthcoming months. Given that we're partway through the summer season already, I still think there's some merit in doing that. And a further report would be provided to the August council meeting, at which point an analysis could be made of how many calls were made, the costs involved, and the success factor of how many snakes were actually caught. Because, as you can imagine, when a snake is reported on a property, it often moves on before someone can attend to remove the snake from the site. So it would be proposed to provide a detailed analysis and report back to the August meeting of council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this matter? Councillor Ramsay.
Yes, you may sit.
Councillor Ramsay.
I'm a little bit perplexed as to why 5 months, when summer's not going to go on for another 5 months. Well, we hope not anyway. So why was the trial set for that period of time? And to have a report come in August, about a month after we've signed, sealed and delivered the budget, I find it a little bit disconcerting, because during the next couple of months we're going to be comparing all our community's wants and needs. So I find this like the putting the cart after the horse is bolted sort of thing. I'm not opposed totally. Part of me is and part of me isn't opposed totally to having a trial to see what it actually... Because if the general manager has stated there are 50 calls from residential areas, then I would like to see how that trial does go. I'd like to also monitor the location under dot point 4 of where those calls come in. But as a councillor, I'm concerned that we're yet again, and I know I've been guilty of this in the past, but yet again we're currently going into an area or taking on a responsibility that isn't our own, and we're dealing with ratepayers' money. Sorry, I've gone
Is
into
there a
discussion.
Question, Councillor Ramsay?
Yeah, there were about 5 in all that. Go for it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll do my best to answer what I think were the questions. Clearly, Council has a choice to maintain the status quo, that is that we don't get involved in any way other than providing people some direction towards various available snake handlers within the region. It's felt that there is some merit in Council providing support to residents, because we know that given the growing nature of our municipality on the interface of a rural area, that snakes are, it's just a fact of life in a growth council. Certainly more so than inner suburbs, which are much more established. I concede that ideally, if we were to run a trial, as I'm recommending, that it would have started at the beginning of summer. However, it's a matter of fact that we're now in early February. There is still time during this, the forthcoming 2 months, particularly when it's hot, where snakes are most likely to be prevalent, to at least establish some patterns and trends if council were to run a trial. Mm-hmm. The reason it's proposed to run through to August, at which time there will be a further report, is during the cycle of this council. Mm-hmm. It will provide an opportunity for this council to determine at that stage whether trial has merit and could indeed be funded on a more ongoing basis. Madam Mayor, I hope I've answered the question.
No, you have. Thank you.
Sorry, the budget. The question related to whether there's a budget capacity. Certainly, given that we're well into this financial year, we do have the capacity through our recurrent budget. I'm not expecting that there will be a massive rush on this over the forthcoming 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. If Council determines to budget for... Sorry, when the report is provided to Council in August, Council can make a decision at that time to allocate a budget to that. And the report does estimate that it might cost $30,000 per annum. Council does have the capacity at that time, if it wishes to continue, to make a budget allocation.
Even prior to the trial results?
No. What I'm recommending, Madam Mayor, is that we await the trial results. Sorry, not Madam, Councillor Ramsay.
Yeah.
That we await the outcomes of the the results of the trial, at which point Council can determine whether it proceeds or not.
Yeah. Councillors, any other further questions? Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I think my fellow councillors know that I'm in full support of the snake catching program, and this report's come because of the notice of motion that I did put last year in February. Reading this report, I can see that it says 50 calls over the past two summer seasons, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Shannon, but that's probably because a lot of our residents know that we didn't provide this service, so they would go about removing the snake on their own. I'd like to know if this item does get moved this evening and it does get adopted, what will the council be doing in regards to advertising this to see that our trial period, all our residents are aware that we are offering this, they are aware it is a trial, and we will be re-looking at it in August?
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's two parts to that question. Firstly, it's correct that the report indicates that around about 50 phone calls are received per annum, roughly from urban areas, asking council for support to remove snakes. Clearly that number would be higher if residents knew that there was a service available, and to that end, that's why we've estimated that we think that might end up being 150 per year, but that's difficult to gauge at this point. If council seeks to establish a trial at this point, we would certainly promote that through the media, through our website, through Moving Ahead, whatever forms are available through social media to indicate that that is available, so we can get a true gauge of the likely uptake over the forthcoming months. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Before you ask, Councillor Ramsey, what is the cost of calling a snake catcher to your home and getting the snake removed?
Madam Mayor, the cost generally depends on the location of the property. We've estimated that it's in the order of $150 to $200 per call out, and that depends on where the snake handler is coming from and where the property is, and that allows him travel time to remove the snake if indeed it is still present, and then to relocate it. So around about $150 to $200 per call out.
Thank you. Councillor Ramsey, you had a question?
Yes, I do, if I can, Madam Mayor. The General Manager, Mr. Shannon, said that Wyndham were the only council that were currently doing it. I believe Wyndham are reviewing that and with the intent at the moment of probably opting out. And secondly, are we going to, like we have on other trials, put a cap on the monetary amount we're prepared to spend on it during the course of the month? Because as Councillor Carley did say, once we advertise the event, it might blow out to something a lot more than the $17,000 we're moving here.
Through you, Madam Mayor, as I understand, the City of Wyndham are reviewing their service in 2017, and I don't know yet what the outcome of that review is, given that they haven't yet undertaken, so I'm not sure that they are going to withdraw themselves from that service, because they haven't yet done the review. I think in terms of Council's commitment to a trial, if we commence a trial, we're into it. I don't think we can start a trial and then say we've reached our capacity of call-outs for the month. We can't have any more.
While we did with the doggy poo bags.
Madam Mayor, I think it would be prudent if Council wishes to undertake a trial that we do it to its fullest over the forthcoming months. In all reality, I don't think we're going to be inundated with phone calls. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, it's my pleasure to move this notice of motion.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor second the notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll second the notice of motion.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
I'd like to move an amended motion, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bentley, what's your amendment?
I move that the recommendation be amended as follows, that item 3 be inserted to read, a resident seeking a service make a contribution of $50 to that service. Items 3, 4, 5 and 6 subsequently be amended 4, 5, 6 and 7 respectively. And therefore item 5, subsequently item 4, be amended to include records being maintained of the number of requests of the service, location of the service provided, and as follows, just complete that.
Councillors, Councillor Bentley has moved an amended motion. Do I have a councillor to second that amendment?
I'd like to second that, and I'm sorry I stood up again.
That's all right, Councillor Ramsey. So I have a notice of motion put before me. However, an amendment notice of motion from Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor require any clarification in regards to the amendment?
Madam Mayor, can you actually read it again or say it again?
Councillor Bentley, could you read your amended motion again, please?
Thank you. So item 3 be inserted. I'll read that again. A resident seeking a service make a contribution of $50 to the service. The numbering be amended subsequently. And item 4, which will be item 5, to include essentially the record be maintained as to the location of the service provided.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Any other questions in regards to the amendment, councillors? I have it moved the amendment by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the amendment to the motion?
Madam Mayor, I oppose Councillor Bentley's amendment of adding the extra $50 for our ratepayers.
Thank you. We now enter into debate, councillors, in regards to the amendment. Councillor Bentley, you have the first point of call.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I expect the debate would be on two items. Do we do this service and not add to the cost? I think we're all in agreement as to if we do this or not, and hopefully we are. So I'll skip over that quickly, but just point out that it is a trial for 5 months. Quite important that we look at this notice of motion, which was quite rightly put by Councillor Curry across the floor. And it's quite important to protect our native fauna. Snakes are a very important part of our ecosystem. I move as to the cost. Currently, if a resident would like to call this service, they're currently out of pocket anywhere between, as we said, $150 to $200. $50 is only a small contribution towards that. I think as any resident going, oh, I'm not going to have to fork out anywhere from $100 to $200 would be quite happy. Further, it is a small price to pay, but I can envisage that somebody sees something in the backyard and goes, there's a snake. Council's got a service, call them out. And we have only had 50 calls this year, and as you said yourself, I think more people will, once they get a hold of this service, will start calling and using it. So if there is a small fee that they have to pay, they may go, I'll have a look there, see if it's moved on, those sorts of things, before just jumping the gun and calling us, and it's potentially costing us anywhere between $150 and $200. I do believe it is an important service, and I do support the trial. It's just to ensure that it is used properly, that we put a small fee on this, which otherwise the resident is being... we are subsidising this by anywhere up to $200. Thank you.
Councillor Ramsey, as the seconder, you have the next point of call.
My issue was more around keeping the data in regards to where it was located. I still have to come to terms with funding something that isn't our responsibility, and it is our ratepayers' money, yet again. But I have been guilty of doing it myself on different items, such as the pensioner rebate, so I'll swallow humble pie when it comes to that. But ratepayers' money needs to be considered wisely. It is a trial, as said, and a contribution of $50, a co-contribution, isn't really out of the realms of possibility. I think that's a wise move. It also makes the resident take some ownership and not flinch every time. Because at the end of the day, Councillor Miles Bentley says the snakes are an important part of our ecosystem. I'm not too sure whether I agree with that. I reckon give me a shovel any day. They're a state government responsibility. It is a state government responsibility. Maybe they should organise the panel
and have panels there and subsidise snake catchers for our community, both residential. I know our general manager said it's a fact of life in a growth council. Well, guess what? We all make choices when we move into our and purchase our own homes. We all want those waterfront views. We all want those big backyards. If you put food out there, if you've got a dam or a watercourse nearby, over the summer months, where do you expect snakes to be? So let's see. I don't mind. We'll eat humble pie and have the trial and see how it goes, but I think a co-contribution is only necessary.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I've heard what my fellow councillors have to say. I still don't agree. I don't believe our ratepayers should have to pay $50 extra, even if it was $20 extra. As far as I'm concerned, I think our ratepayers already pay pretty fair high rates, and I believe that they deserve this service. We talk about, Councillor Ramsay, and please don't take offence to this, but ratepayers' money being wasted. I mean, you took a trip to Mexico, which cost this council and our ratepayers $14,000. So that would...
Councillor,
three people went on that trip.
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Well, it was a cost of $14,000 to our ratepayers, so perhaps three people did go, or two, or whoever it was. It was a cost to our ratepayers. I do not believe that our ratepayers should have to pay $50. They pay enough in their rates, and I believe we should deliver this service. We can already see how many pets have already died with snake bites. Do we wait for our children to die? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any other councillor want to speak in regards to the amendment to the notice of motion? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I agree with this motion for the specs, to give it a go on the snake removal. But I do believe that to make sure it's genuine cases calling up, a token fee is required, whether it's $50, $20, whatever. I believe there is a token fee required. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor want to speak in regards to the amendment notice of motion? Councillor Bentley, you have the last point of call.
Madam Mayor, sorry, am I able to ask a question to one of the officers?
Councillor Carley, who's your question to?
It would be to Mr. Shannon. I just want to, and I understand that I've put you on the spot, but with our trials like the dog poop bags that were in the parks, did or any other council initiative that we've put in as a trial, has there ever been asked that our residents pay a cost to that or towards that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, not that I can recall. No.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley, closing remarks.
Just some closing remarks. I'd just like to say that it is our ratepayers' money that was made quite clear. It is a trial, so we are more than welcome to revisit this in 5 months' time if we see that the contribution is not working. I take the comments put by Councillor Carley that the dog poop bags haven't had a contribution made. However, the cost of a 20-cent poop bag as compared to a $250 snake visit are not quite comparable. And I do think it's important that we put this trial in place. Councillor Carley made the comment about our pets being bitten. I have a friend who has a dog who's been bitten twice by a tiger snake. And it's just pulled through on the second time, luckily, and it's a bit touch and go still, but it's quite difficult and distressing to see that pet go through that. So I feel where she's coming from. And as a resident, to protect my child, and if I had children, sorry, protect my children and to protect my pets, I'll be quite willing to pay $50 to remove that snake. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. We move on now to the vote. All those in favour of Councillor Bentley's amended motion, of the amendment, please raise your hand. All those against the amendment, please raise your hand. Casting vote of the Mayor is that we remove the amendment and now we visit the notice of motion as is written. I declare the amendment lost. Would any councillor like to call a division? Back to the notice of motion. Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to call a division if we could please on the amendment.
All those in favour of Councillor Bentley's amendment, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Ramsey, all those against the amendment of the notice of motion, Councillor Quagliari, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Carley, I declare the amendment lost on the casting vote of the Mayor.
Madam Mayor,
Councillor Ramsey.
Can I ask that 11.5 be deferred until the next ordinary meeting of Council, please?
That would be a procedural motion, Councillor Ramsey, and it would have to go to the vote.
That's fine.
Are you asking for it to go to the vote? Councillor Ramsey has asked that a procedural motion that 11.5 be deferred. Although we have a move by Councillor Ramsey, do I have a seconder that this 11.5 notice of motion be deferred?
Madam Mayor, I don't want it to be deferred. I'd like it to be heard. But am I able to have a reason of why Councillor Ramsey wants to?
Just a moment. Hang on. Point of order, ladies. Just sit down. You'll actually get your chance, Councillor Carley, to ask questions. First, do I have a seconder for Councillor Ramsey's deferment of this notice of motion?
I move that to the second for the purposes of debate. Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor require any clarification? Thank you, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry, I jumped in a bit too
no,
early.
No worries.
I'd just like to know why Councillor Ramsey would like to defer it, because she's already made a decision. She'd like to see our ratepayers pay an extra $50, but she is for the trial.
Are you making a statement?
Councillor Ramsey, please let Councillor Carley speak. You'll have your chance.
I just want to know now why you want to defer it.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
I would like to defer it because Councillor Dunn, who isn't present this evening, was very vocal about not even getting it to a report stage. So I think out of courtesy and respect to a fellow councillor, which has been done several times before, and that's not...
Sorry?
It's out of respect to a fellow councillor that we defer the item.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour in deferring 11.5, councillors, please raise your hand. Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of deferring 11.5, which is a procedural motion that Councillor Ramsey has moved, seconded by Councillor...
Madam Mayor, am I able to speak to the motion before you put it?
Is there a question?
No, there's not a question. Am I able to speak?
You can speak if it goes into debate, which I'm assuming very strongly that it probably will. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour to defer 11.5 snake removal program, please raise your hand. Councillor Ramsey. All those against. Can I ask for a division? All those in favour, Councillor Ramsey. All those against, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Quagliari, Councillor Madeleak. I declare the procedural motion to defer 11.5 lost. Councillor Bentley, you may speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to say that I seconded that and commend Councillor Ramsey for saying that. I believe that Councillor Dunn was quite vocal with respect to this. However, this is a trial with a five-month period, and I'd just like to say that we need to get on with this if we are going to move forward. However, I do support Ramsey in her motion.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Going on to the original motion of 11.5, snake removal program, it's been presented by Mr. Luke Shannon. Do I have a mover for this notice of motion? Which we have. Councillor Carley, Councillor Quagliari, all those opposing for the original snake removal program, please raise your hand. In the opposition. All those against the original notice of motion that we have before us, 11.5, snake removal program, any councillor who is opposed to this original notice of motion, please raise your hand.
Madam Mayor, the other one was lost, so there's no point, but could I possibly get the word location put in with the mover and the seconder's grace in dot point 4?
Councillor Carley and Councillor Quagliari, are you happy to include in dot point 4 the specific location of where this snake removal catcher needs to go?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Quagliari, are you happy with that slight amendment?
That's fine.
Thank you. Is there any councillor who opposes this original motion excluding the small amendment of the location? Please raise your hand. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I ask for a division. Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Quilliari, Councillor Bentley are in four of the notice of motion. I declare the notice of motion carried. Item number 11.6, Reconnect Program Funding Extension, presented by Mr. Murray Heaney. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a quick overview. The Reconnect Program is a federally funded initiative through the Department of Social Services. It's a community-based early intervention service for young people aged between 12 to 18 years of age who are at risk of homelessness or at risk of homelessness and support to their families. Reconnect was established by the federal government in 1998 as a national response to youth homelessness. Melton City Council has successfully delivered this program and retained the funding in the recurring three-year rounds. The extension of the funding equates to $214,000 for another year of funding, effectively from the 1st of July 2016, which will support our program, obviously, for one more year. So 18 months to go, and it's recognition of Council's continued achievement with long-term running programs involving outcomes for homelessness youth and young people at risk of homelessness. Confirmation of the funding, councillors, is referred in Appendix 1 of this document, and it is, I will refer to the recommendations, and then there are two, and note, councillors, note the funding received, which is $214,970.24 for a further 12 months, and that is effective from the 1st of July. And obviously the council write to the relevant minister, thanking the minister and expressing council's appreciation for that funding for the program. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, it's good to get a bit more funding for this program, but can council officers explain how this funding is used?
Yep, through you, Madam Mayor. The funding is used, and the actual support of this program is run through our youth services team, so that it equates to EFTs or staffing positions to run the program. The program also has conversations with young people at risk, and they're identified through other programs within our youth services team, like 601 and others. We also integrate with young people and have a high connection with schools and community service organisations to connect with those young people if they are at risk. And just to touch on that, the reason we have achieved some additional funding is we've met all of our targets responsible to the federal government, and as such the federal government has resolved at this stage to fund us further for a further 12 months. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, pleased to move this motion, 11.6.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor who opposes the notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to 11.7, submission to the draft Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Implementation Plan, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the draft Metropolitan Waste Resource and Recovery Implementation Plan. Fundamentally, Madam Mayor, this plan sets out how Melbourne's waste needs will be met over the next 10 years. The plan is a requirement of the Environment Protection Act 1970. It was released for comment and submissions were due by the 18th of December 2015. The key objective of the draft implementation plan is to set out how the waste and resource recovery infrastructure needs of the greater metropolitan Melbourne region will be met over the next 10-year period. 10 priority actions are identified to achieve the strategic directions and are shown and attached as Appendix 1 to this report. The group is responsible for coordinating and facilitating the delivery of waste management and resource recovery across Melbourne and works with 31 different metropolitan councils to plan for the waste management and resource recovery facilities and services, facilitate joint procurement of facilities and services to provide better economic, environmental and waste management outcome for councils, and help build the capacity and knowledge of councils and their communities of best practice, waste minimisation and opportunities for improved services and infrastructure. The strategic directions that are outlined in the draft implementation plan, and certainly Council have commented on, really set out around the auspices of maximising the diversion of recoverable materials from landfills, support increased resource recovery, achieve quantities for reprocessing, manage waste and material streams, maximise economic outcomes, provide cost-effective service delivery and reduce community, environment and public health impacts, and finally, to facilitate a cost-effective statewide network of waste and resource recovery infrastructure. Due to the timing of the submission due date, which I previously stated was the 18th of December 2015, and Council's meeting schedule leading up to the end of the calendar year, the group agreed to receive working draft submissions from Council officers until submissions could be formally endorsed by each individual Council. Council's draft submission to the draft implementation plan and comments to those 10 key priority areas is attached as Appendix 2 to this report. The group itself saw public comment on the draft implementation plan by various means of contact, those fundamentally being by written submission, by people completing an online survey, by providing direct comment through various forums, also attending a drop-in session that they ran a number of those to facilitate the processes. This report, in short, Madam Mayor, seeks to obtain Council's endorsement of the Melton City Council submission to the Draft Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Implementation Plan. With this in mind, I present to the Council the recommendation as set out in the front of the notice paper, and it is the Council endorse the Melton City Council submission to the Draft Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Implementation Plan, as presented in Appendix 2 of this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Do I have a Councillor to move this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this, and in doing so, compliment the officers for the amount of work that goes into this. This is a very important draft, and I just thank the officers for their work. Thank you,
Councillor Turner. Do I have a Councillor to second this notice of motion?
I'd like to second.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Does any Councillor oppose this notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving on to agenda item 12, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies, which are our committees and so forth. I would like to hand it over to Councillor Ramsay first. Thanks, Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I only had the Road Safe Westgate meeting before Christmas, and we thanked everybody at that stage for their perseverance in some of the strategies, both in Roads to Zero and in alliance with the Road Safe Westgate.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Carley.
Nil for me, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner.
Committee-wise, Madam Mayor, very little. I just say that at the end of the year, we had the Youth Council dinner, and it was really good to get all the Youth Council together for the Christmas dinner and thank them for the work they've done over the last 12 months.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I'll just say my committee, I like every other councillor, it was during Christmas, so it's been a quiet couple of months now that we're back all rearing, ready to go. I only attended the Disability Advisory Committee meeting. The minutes are included in tonight's agenda, but I just wanted to highlight an update. We had highlights and updates on the Bridge Road Regional Play Space, which is going to be an inclusive play area for kids with disabilities as well as those without disabilities. So it's going to be great, a great place for our children to go and have some fun, as well as we spoke about the upcoming Melton Business Awards. So that were the highlights at the Disability Advisory Committee meeting. Thank you, Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In fact, you forgot one, and that was the 2016 Community Achievement Awards Assessment Panel, which was presented on Australia Day, and also had a grant meeting committee that I couldn't attend, but I thank Councillor Turner to attend on my behalf, which he forgot to mention too.
Thank you, Councillor Currie. That's why we've got our Deputy Mayor here. Councillor Bentley, your committees.
I'll blame the fact that it was a quiet month, but as usual, Madam Mayor, none.
But you have been appointed to them, Councillor Bentley.
Yes, I'm looking forward to our meeting in February, Madam Mayor.
Yes, I am too, Councillor Bentley. Thank you. Councillors, 12.1, public address by each councillor. I'll actually start off with Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just wanted to speak on the fantastic day that was Australia Day on the 26th of January, where most of my fellow councillors attended. First of all, the weather was fantastic. Great day, a little fractionally warm, but it was fantastic to be able to get out and see everybody so happy in the sunshine. So many community groups were there, sort of Scouts, Mountain Information Centre, Red Cross, so many services in our community that got out and celebrated that great day, showing what we have to offer in the city of Melton. I'd like to congratulate all the award recipients, all worthy winners doing great causes to build our city into the fantastic community that it is. It's great to see so many nominations as well. All the people lined up doing great things for our community, and it is great to be able to recognise them for the work that they do. Lastly, with respect to that, I'd like to say congratulations to all the new citizens. I think 180 we had on the day.
185.
All beaming with smiles on their face to become Australians. Great day to remember why it is such a good day to remember what the lucky country that we live in, and great to see that so many people want to join us, especially in Melton. It was great when we were sitting up on the stage, we sang the national anthem and "We Are Australian," and the flags that were out there waving, people were proud to be there and proud to be Australian. And just lastly, I got an email with regards to the Botanic Gardens. Botanic Garden is now named as one of the top 10 gardens in metropolitan Melbourne. So if you haven't been out there and seen it, get out there and see it. Just down on Lakewood Boulevard at Dalesford, nice lake, beautiful gardens, building great. So get out there and see it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to take this opportunity to highlight the outstanding teenage program run by our youth services that was held over the January holidays. Secondary school students were encouraged to participate in various activities such as treetop surfing, going to the cinemas, gold class, by the way. The teenagers were picked up from various locations around the municipality. And I have spoken to many of the teenagers who attended and said, in four words, it was the best. I encourage you, if you have teenage kids at home, to get them in the teenage program and to contact council just before the school holidays and book a spot. And lastly, as it was discussed by Mr. O'Connor, to keep Saturday the 27th of February, organised by the Diggers Rest Lions Club, they are having a huge town carriage sale from 8 o'clock onwards, and try and attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I just wanted to also highlight Australia Day was fantastic, as Councillor Bentley has already mentioned, but I wanted to also congratulate the Community Achievement Award winners. The entries were of very high calibre this year, and I congratulate all worthy winners. And I do believe we have a win, Ringbank Citizen of the Year in our presence today. I do believe that is true. So welcome, Despina. Thank you. I read that in the newspaper and I thought it couldn't have gone to a more worthy recipient. I also attended the Western Bay Small Business Support Launch, and great to see so many Melton businesses attend and discuss how they can improve their business presence in the city of Melton. Most of us attended the pre-budget community meetings both at Melton and Caroline Springs, and I thank the residents and also the community groups that had come along and just mentioned some of the things that they would like to see in this year's budget. But my main focus this during this time was the NGAA Fund Our Future campaign. And unfortunately, there are 5 million Australians in fast-growing outer suburbs who are disadvantaged. And it's estimated that it will take at least $50 billion to fund the gap that is currently there for the infrastructure that is lacking for our residents. The NGAA, together with councils, have identified three main priorities, being roads, public transport and health. Melton Council, together with 23 other councils nationally, so Australia-wide, are advocating the federal government for a dedicated infrastructure fund for growth councils across Australia to help fund the gap and provide our residents with the same standard that other metropolitan suburbs currently have. At the Victorian launch, I had the opportunity to talk about Melton's two main priorities, being a metro standard rail service, as well as the upgrade of the Western Highway from Christie's Road to Ferris Road to an urban freeway standard, removing all at-grade intersections. It's a worthy campaign, and I also thank the Leader newspaper for taking it on board. It's receiving great coverage over the radio, as well as, like I mentioned, the Leader newspaper and other newspapers. We are hopeful that this will place pressure in the upcoming federal elections and that our residents will receive the much-needed funding to ensure that they are not living in a place of disadvantage. Just also just wanted to mention upcoming events, Somersault Festival this coming Saturday at the Town Centre Recreation Reserve in Caroline Springs. We have a great lineup of entertainment, street food, market and lots of fun activities for the family and children, as well as the ever popular fireworks to end the evening. So folks, if you get a chance, Saturday, I think it starts around 2, but four o'clock, all the way to 10 o'clock, I think, is the fireworks with a lot of entertainment. So bring your family over to Caroline Springs. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to take it down a notch. I want to thank everybody that supported me over the last 7 weeks whilst I've been recuperating in bed with an illness. The cards, flowers and the good speedy recovery wishes have been something that has helped me along. Never, ever, ever want to be in that position again. On a sad note, Cassandra Broughton, one of the stalwarts of Melton South, has passed away. Her funeral will be on Thursday, but as a very young councillor and prior to council, Cassandra Broughton was one of the founding members of the Melton South Residents Association. She watched Mount Carberry like a hawk. God forbid those people that looked after the trees at that park. If a blade of grass wasn't cut, she'd be in your ear. She was a tremendous fighter, and she's been battling a very serious disease for the last couple of years, which finally took her on Friday. I just wanted to say Council's appreciation to an absolutely wonderful lady and a great Meltonian. I also, whilst I'm there, want to acknowledge all the firefighters in our wonderful state, in our wonderful nation, that over the month of January and December have been doing such diligent work. To have a fire volunteer at Wye River battle to save somebody else's property while his own was going up in smoke speaks droves of the resilience and the community spirit we have in Australia, and I just cannot be prouder of them. Most of them will fight, go internationally, and they also go interstate to assist their colleagues when it comes to national disasters. It was very great seeing, now go on to a cheerier note, Australia Day, 185 wonderful residents. They were just so excited. It was a great day to see Thomas, Annette, Leonie, Margaret and I Care special needs be recognised was truly fantastic as well, because everybody knows I lost my beautiful baby girl last year, but these were all attached to making the world of disability such an easier maze to travel through. So I commend the judging panel. I also thank each and every one of them for their endeavours over not only just a couple of years but decades. The budget was illuminating. I don't know how we're going to get those boxing gloves on, guys, because it's going to be on for young and old. If the Melton one was anything to go by, there's some big ticket items coming our way. It hasn't finished off yet. To anyone in the gallery or anyone that reads the newspaper, please contact your local councillors if you want something to be considered. It's easier to get it considered in the front end of the budget than try and squeeze it in at the end. And last year, Somersault was the best event almost of the year, so I concur with Madam Mayor. Get on down there on the weekend. I don't even know who the opening act is. That's disgraceful. I've been in bed that long. Shepherd. Okay.
Save Geronimo.
Save Geronimo. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for saving me. But I look forward to seeing as many of our community, both the Eastern Corridor and the Township, get down there and have an absolutely sensational evening.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 4th of February and 6th of February, I attended both the pre-budget community engagement sessions at Melton Library and the other one at Caroline Springs Library. I'd also like to thank all the residents that took the time to come out and to have a say on what they would like to see this council spend their money on. So thank you. And I was going to mention Somersault, but I think that's pretty much been covered. So I look forward to seeing you all there on Saturday night.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll try and be brief. 24th of January, actually, along with yourself, we attended St. Michael's Ethiopian Orthodox Church for the celebration of Epiphany, which was a very interesting day. Keeping on things religious, on the Friday the 5th, just last week, I attended the Melton Parish Church, Uniting Church, for the induction of the new minister, Reverend Paul Blacker, and he tells me he's going to be coming to speak to our mayor, so expect a visit. Other things that have happened in the month, obviously the budget sessions, I attended the Thursday night one and the 4th of the 2nd, and also attended the two residents meeting on Melton Residents Association, which was always a nice, feisty meeting, that one, it's good. And then I went up to the Innsbury one, so it's really good to see the ongoing challenges of the small growing community up there at Innsbury. And yeah, they've got a lot of wishes for the budget as well. But yeah, I had a good rapport with them on the night. It was a good night. I didn't stay long. They generally tell me the problems and they throw me out. So it was sort of all right on all hands. On Saturday morning, along with, well, you were there before me at the Leeds programme. And I was out there along with Councillor Bentley when the Leeds programme award ceremony was held at West Waters. I think must have been given out about 150 awards for the Leeds advocates, and that was the groups and the people from the groups who had gone through the whole training program, lead, educate, advocate, demonstrate sustainability. So it was really great to see all the different groups there on the day. It was a really good, morning. And to finish up, the next one probably is a committee thing, but it's double committee. Arts Trail Bus Tour, attended that during the holidays on the 27th of January. Melton now has its own arts tour, Arts Trail. So there's pamphlets all been printed. Anybody that would like to know about it, ask at the desk here at council or go on the website. We have our own Arts Trail in Melton now, and it's quite substantial. We didn't have time to go and see everything on the day. We only had 4 hours. But, yeah, it's certainly something to be involved in. I think the schools will be really interested to see that. And on the 4th, I attended, along with yourself, Madam Mayor, the Melton Chinese Friendship Association. It was a traditional Chinese painting presentation at Carling Springs Library. And it was a fantastic day seeing things I'd never seen before, the way the Chinese did their painting. It was so amazing seeing somebody going from start to finish. Excuse me, Councillor Ramsey, can you please hold your tongue? Yes, and some of the work here is amazing. They have actually given us a donation to council, which I'm about to present to the mayor. I'm sure the gallery can have a quick look before they go out. I'll put it on this table.
Yes, please.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. And I do believe that it's the seasons, so there's four, summer, spring, autumn and winter. So you can have a look at them and try and guess which one's which. They are very, very good. The artwork was just amazing and the brushwork was fantastic. So thank you, Councillor Turner. Thank you. Anything further?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's me.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, moving on to agenda item 13, Councillor Representations and Acknowledgements. 13.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989. And I do have a recommendation here.
I'd like to move the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated the 1st of February 2016 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. That's okay. I'm just confirming. Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 14, notices of motion. 14.1, notice of motion 414, Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. This notice of motion is basically mostly in result to residents' complaints regarding the NBN, and I'd like to just read it out. The council write to National Broadband Network Company, Mr. Ian Lockyer, planner stakeholder engagement, urging NBN Co. to commit to the rollout of NBN technology into all populated existing residential areas of the City of Melton, including Taylor's Hill and Melton West, which is not in the planning rollout until at least 2018. There's quite a gap in Melton in certain areas, and the speeds are so slow, it's unbelievable for this day and age, and I just think it's really important that we start putting pressure on this for our residents.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder for this notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor, can I ask mover and seconder just to stop at the word Melton? Why include Melton West and Taylor's Hill when Brookfield, Caroline Springs, Rockbank, Burnside, and a few others aren't going to be done for 2017 or 18. Does that mean we're pushing those two and moving the others back in preference? I mean, it should be that we're asking them to focus on rolling out the NBN technology into all populated existing residential areas of Melton, full stop.
Councillor Turner, would you like to answer that question?
Yeah, happy to answer that question. Look, I think it's really important just that we get it out there, and naming a couple of areas just to put a push in there is a good start. I'd like the whole of Melton to have the same services, but I don't see the point of just splitting hairs. Councillor Ramsay, thank you.
I actually thought, Councillor Turner, that you included Melton West because it's not planned to be in the rollout until at least 2018, whereas the in the officer's comments, they've actually mentioned all of the rest are planned in that area. So I was under the impression that Melton West was specifically mentioned because they're not planned. Am I correct in assuming that?
As far as I'm aware, one of the worst areas in the future coming, and as far as I know, there's no written plans for Taylor's Hill either.
Okay. So, Councillor Turner, are you happy with Councillor Ramsay's suggestion? Are you suggesting to remove that line, Councillor Ramsay? Clarification?
I would just support all of Melton and therefore
all the areas of city
and
of Melton.
And keep lobbying that every area gets done as soon as possible, including Melton West, which is hard done by, including Taylor's Hill, which is hard done by, including Caroline Springs and Brookfield, which really even haven't got an internet service very much at all at the moment. So there's a lot of areas that are bleeding.
So you're suggesting that the areas of City of Melton and full stop there.
Uh-huh.
Councillor Turner, are you happy with that amendment?
No, Madam Mayor. This is a specific request from residents. So I'm putting theirs in it. It does say, if you read it, into all populated residential areas. So it is all of Melton, but it's just saying to them, specifically for West Melton as well, that there's no plans listed for West Melton. So it's just an extra push, that's all, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Ramsay, you can either move an amendment and push that through, if you're happy to leave it as is.
Can I just seek one further piece of clarification then? If we go including Melton West, which is not in the planned
rollout
until at least 2018, okay, if we include the words Taylor's Hill, are they in the planned rollout until 2008? Will that sentence make sense then?
So you're wanting to, sorry, just clarification, you're wanting to include Taylor's Hill in this?
Well, apparently the Mayor has, Councillor Turner has requested that.
Okay. Councillor Turner, did you want that question reiterated, or are you happy to answer that?
Can you please say again? I didn't have a clue what you were saying. Sorry, Sylvia.
Sorry, Councillor Ramsay, can you repeat the question,
Councillor Turner? When Councillor Turner moved the motion, he also added not only Melton West but Taylor's Hill. Right? So if we add Melton West and Taylor's Hill, which is not planned in the rollout until at least 2018, Taylor's Hill was a on-the-spot inclusion, and I don't know if that makes sense.
Just through you, Madam Mayor, the way I've recorded Councillor Turner's motion, it reads, including Taylor's Hill and Melton West, which is not included. So it's saying Taylor's Hill and Melton West, which is not included. It depends where the comma goes, how, and I was understanding that it just added Taylor's Hill as an example, but specifically Melton West as a non-included suburb in the plans. That, I thought, was the intent of Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, this is causing a lot of trouble for a couple of words. If it really troubles Councillor Ramsay that much, I'll just go as is written, no problems. All into all populated existing area residential areas of Melton. And if you want to list every area that's listed below, and especially Melton West, which is not planned rollout until 2018.
That would satisfy me, because as we represent the whole of the city of Melton, I mean, I don't think 2017 is going to be quickly enough for Rockbank and Caroline Springs residents. But all Burnside residents, for that matter. We need to advocate for the whole of the city, as Councillor Turner does in the first bit, and including Melton West and Taylor's Hill.
So, Councillor Turner, if I'm not wrong, you wanted to include all the rest of the suburbs in your actual letter?
I keep putting off and on. I think the best thing we can do is let's put every area in Melton in it, and any area that's not getting done in next year. Let's put them all in there and let's please...
Can I just ask, will that lose the essence of what your notice of motion is trying to...
I think so.
So, Councillor Turner, it's up to you. If you want to amend that notice of motion with that amendment that Councillor Ramsay has put forward, we can do so. Listed with all the suburbs, otherwise we will have to enter into debate whether we should...
Seems a bit pedantic to me. Let's just leave out all the names of the suburbs then, and maybe that'll work better. And we just put commit to the rollout of the NBN into all populated existing residentials. What about the new ones? We're going to have challenges with the new ones now. I don't know. I need to think about it. I need to think of the wording on that. Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bentley.
Councillor Bentley, way forward, please.
Turner, could we change the word including to including but not limited to?
Including but not limited to Taylor's Hill and Melton West, which is not in the planned rollout until at least 2018. Are we happy with that, councillors? Councillor Turner, are you happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
Councillor Ramsay, are you happy with that?
Word perfect, Councillor Miles.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. So, we have before us a slightly amended notice of motion, which now reads, Kel, can you please read the new notice of motion?
Well, Madam Mayor, it's as written until you get to areas of the City of Melton, including but not limited to Melton West, which is not in the planned rollout until at least 2018.
Are we still keeping Taylor's Hill in there?
I'm not sure.
I'm so sorry, councillors and members of the gallery. Councillor Turner.
I'll be honest with you. It seems to be Taylor's Hill that's causing the problem. Let's drop it and just leave it as is.
Okay.
Councillor Ramsay, are you happy with that?
More than happy, ma'am.
Councillor Bentley? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? Councillor Carley? We enter into debate. One moment, Councillor Turner, you've got the point of you got the floor first.
I'll reserve my reply.
Thank you, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I thought this was a pretty straightforward notice of motion that got really confusing. I think we all need NBN. I think that it's great. I really say thank you, Councillor Turner, for putting through this notice of motion. But I don't understand why Councillor Ramsay wants to take out Taylor's Hill. I'm the ward councillor, so is Councillor Cugliari for Taylor's Hill, and we hear all the time how slow the internet is there. And you're the councillor that says that we're not ward-centric, but I think by you taking out Taylor's Hill, you're actually showing that you are. So I don't understand why we can't move the notice of motion as Councillor Turner's just put it, and it'd be done.
Sorry, Councillor Ramsay, before you speak, who was the second or?
Councillor Bentley was.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we're splitting hairs. We're seeking NBN in all residential areas of Melton, which is quite needed, and think that we need to take some action in this, which this clearly does, instead of splitting hairs.
Anyone to speak for the notice of motion as it now stands?
My amendment would have been just to stop it under the City of Melton, as we took the oath to represent the City of Melton. I do not like Councillor Carley's personal attack. I wish her arguments were a little bit stronger, because there was no Taylor's Hill mentioned on this notice of motion. She just whispered it to Councillor Turner, and he included it when he stood up. So the agenda that went out didn't have Taylor's Hill on there. And as...
One moment, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsay.
And as I read, we represent the whole of the municipality. It's the City of Melton. I think the NBN... I think it's a great notice of motion. I think the NBN needs to be put out there sooner rather than later, and the rollout needs to... So I commend Councillor Turner on his notice of motion. But there are parts of our municipality that haven't even got internet at the moment, one of which is Taylor's Hill. But there's also Brookfield, Rockbank, Caroline Springs, Burnside and the like. Now, we represent everybody, and I'm not ward-centric. It's the whole of the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Anyone else wishes to speak in regards to this notice of motion? Can I just clarify, if Taylor's Hill isn't included in this notice of motion specifically, is it still included in advocating for...
Right, it says all areas.
Councillor Carley, did you have a further comment or question?
No, Madam Mayor. I still can't understand what the big fuss is about, to be honest, because when Councillor Turner said that we'll just take out Taylor's Hill, Councillor Ramsay was more than happy to still move it with Melton West in there.
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carley, can you just sit down for 1 second? Councillor Ramsay, your point of order.
Councillor Lara Carley has already spoken. Are we gone into debate? Let's follow the minutes.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Turner, you have the final say.
Nothing. No, I'll do that to you. I think this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it. We've spent, 20 minutes arguing over this. It's just crazy. We're all on the same page. We're all trying to improve the NBN. This was a result of a resident in West Melton who is really, really struggling. He's got business. He can't get the NBN as long as many other companies and people within the City of Melton. And I'll be honest with you. Yeah, Taylor's Hill wasn't in it originally. But when Councillor Carley said to me, how about Taylor's Hill? And I thought, well, sure, at least we're looking at east and west. We're not just looking at one side. We're inclusive. As you can see by the report, we're looking at every area in Melton, whether it's Plumpton, Melton South, Melton West, Canjiang. They've all got the same problems. But we need to highlight it. And there's no point in going to NBN and saying, giving them every area in Melton and saying, here, we've got problems in all these areas. They're not going to fix them that quick. So if we give them one or two areas and maybe look at it initially, and then hopefully by doing that, the rest of Melton will get the same treatment. We're all in the same boat. We should all be on the same side. I just can't understand this. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. All those in
favour... To be honest, I can't even remember what the motion is now.
Shall we have it finally read it out? Mr. Tory, can you please read it out in full?
The motion is, Madam Mayor, that Council write to the National Broadband Network Company, bracket NBN Co, close bracket, Mr. Ian Lockyer, planner, stakeholder engagement, urging NBN Co to commit to the rollout of NBN technology into all populated existing residential areas of the City of Melton, including, but not limited to, Melton West, which is not in the planned rollout until at least 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried. Does anyone want to call for a division? And Councillor Carley, I'd probably suggest that next month, you write the same and just put Taylor's Hill in there. That covers all bases, I think. Moving along, councillors, to item 15, councillors' questions without notice. Does any councillor have a question without notice? Councillor Ramsay.
Question without notice is in. Sorry, Councillor Turner, for expediency, do you want to go first? Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Ramsay.
Thank you.
She nearly got me out. Anyway, yes, I would go first because I think mine must have been first cab off the rank. And this also is in reference to certain residents who have been speaking to me recently regarding the future of our cemetery in Melton. Question to the General Manager of Corporate Services, Mr. Shannon. Given the recent local media coverage in relation to the Melton Cemetery no longer selling new burial plots for the pre-need purchase, for the benefit of our residents who have not read the December report to Council, could you please explain again any plans for a future cemetery and when it might be ready for burials? Who might be responsible for the construction and running of any proposed cemetery, and if Council is working to speed up the process or cooperate with any such planning? Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Turner is correct. There was a detailed report provided to the 15th of December Council meeting, and I won't, again, necessarily go through the particular details other than the fact that it provided an update to Council regarding the future capacity of the cemetery, which has been operating since 1861, so it's been a long-established cemetery in the Melton Township on Centenary Avenue. The current situation with the cemetery is that it has some 2,500 burial sites, pretty much all of which have been fully committed. They've either been fully utilised, partly utilised, or pre-sold. So the newspaper report is correct in that regard. There are also a number of sites for cremated remains that are available, some 400 out of the 1,037 that were originally in place. So you will, in fact, continue to see ongoing interments at the cemetery for years to come on that basis. However, your point is correct in terms of the future opportunities for the municipality as a whole. There is a significant site owned by the state government who is responsible for cemeteries on a large property facing both Harkness Road and Bullmans Road in the Melton Township. They've owned that for many years. The responsibility for the future management and development of that site is the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust, which is appointed by the state government. We are in discussions with them and will soon be meeting with their chief executive to discuss the future of that site and their future planning of it. Clearly, their planning needs to proceed at some pace. Obviously, the Melton Cemetery will at some point reach its full capacity. There are other opportunities outside the municipality as well in places such as Gisborne, Bacchus Marsh and Sunbury and the like. But clearly, the future regional cemetery is at the site I've described, and that's the responsibility of the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust. We'll continue to advocate strongly for them to have a plan in place and to develop the site to enable its utilisation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any other questions without notice?
Yes, Madam.
Councillor Ramsay.
Mayor, following on from Councillor Turner's question, in regards to the local Melton Cemetery, can officers satisfy Council that all possible capacity for additional burials have been exhausted in the hope that more local people can be bury their loved ones there?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, I can indicate to Council that work has been undertaken at the cemetery between the years, particularly 2012 and 2014, to increase its capacity to its maximum potential. That involved the installation of 4 new headstone beams, which provided for 80 additional burial sites, along with an extra 3 lawn beams, which provided for a further 80 burial sites, so in other words, another 160 sites available. But as I described in my answer to Councillor Turner, there are a number of a great number of pre-committed sites, if you like, at the cemetery, so you'll continue to see burials there for many, many years to come. And as I've indicated, we'll be working with the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust to ensure that they commence their planning and establishment of the site at Harkness Road / Bullman's Road. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillor have any questions without notice? Councillor Turner.
Just to follow up, Mr. Shannon, please. Do you have any idea at all what the sort of timeline is going to be for getting this cemetery up and started?
Yeah, sorry, Councillor Turner, I forgot to answer that question earlier. As I indicated, we will be meeting with senior representatives from the Trust in the near future. From earlier discussions with them, I understand it may be 4, 5, 6, 7 years before they have a presence on site. We do report to them annually in terms of the capacity of the existing cemetery, so they've known that this has been coming, but we'll certainly be keen to ensure that they have at least their early planning established very soon for that site, and we can certainly provide further advice to Council once we know exactly what their plan is for having a presence on the site. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillors, any other questions without notice? Items number 16, motions without notice. Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor, I have two, if I could have your indulgence. Motions without notice. The Council officers write to QIC and the owners of the Melton Bunnings store requesting that the urgent repair and modification of the eastern access driveway into Bunnings from Barry's Road. In its current condition, the access is a safety hazard to motorists.
And your second one, Councillor Ramsay?
The second one is that Council write to the Melton Police Inspector and the Police Delegate to Council, thanking them for their diligence, professionalism during the public rally last year, they considered Melton's community's safety paramount during the course of this day.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do you have a copy for the...
Yes, I have.
...Manager for Corporate Services... that you can hand over now?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillors, are there any other motions without notice? No. Item number 17, urgent business. Item number 18, confidential business, and we have a procedural motion before us. Councillor Cugliari.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89... 2 of the Local Government 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. There is 18.1, which is the minutes of the 2016 Community Achievement Awards Assessment Panel meeting. 18.2, the minutes of the Harness Racing Victorian Tabcorp Park Grants Assessment Panel meeting. 18.3, Property Development Advisory Committee meeting minutes from the 8th of December 2015. 18.4, Awarding of Contract 15/033B, Provision of Sanitary and Hygiene Services. 18.5, Contract 19/06/0625, retail electricity, natural gas and associated services, and finally 18.6, awarding of the contract for the management and operations of the Melton Waves Leisure Centre, contract 16/027.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second that procedural motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Any councillor opposing? I declare the procedural motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and members of the gallery. Thank you for attending. Please help yourself to some tea and coffee and refreshments. And if you'd like to have a look Actually, maybe if we take it outside as well, do you think?
Yeah, perhaps.
Can we? Yeah. Maybe if we can.